Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. So these ones I just came, we'll go to the back. So let's try and follow a bit of order with that. Thank you very much for staying this morning for us to share the Word of God together. We've had a nice time since yesterday. And I appreciate your coming, even though it's for your own good. Is that not so? But I still enjoy the fellowship. It's interesting. All right, the Lord is good. I have a lot of questions here, so let's just observe a few rules so that you won't feel bad in case I don't read out your question. So I won't read all of them out verbatim. It's just for us to get answers, right? So some of them I'll just answer without reading. And a lot of them are repetition of, you know, of course, you don't know what the other person wrote, so you wrote your own. And then if it's a lot of detailed personal counseling, I can't handle that now because you can understand it is everybody has to hear everything and they will take a lot of time. So I'm going to focus more on questions that are more general that we can all learn principles from. Do you understand? Rather than giving one individual direction concerning the question, issue he has in his life. All right? Now, so let's just take them one by one. They are very diverse. If the question is really off, I'll just tell you I've gone through it, but I'm not going to answer it. Now, I just believe that it's in my hand, so may find us jumping up and down from coming this first coming of Jesus to the second coming of Jesus. You understand? I'll start with this. Somebody said, you said that God created a woman to be a helper. These days, most of the women are the breadwinners in the family. How can a woman cope with the upkeep of the family, with little business or no work, coping all alone? That's an abnormal situation. Number one, to say most is not true. You may know a number of situations like that, but it is not true that most women are now the breadwinners in the family. It is totally not true. You understand? Most of the families I know, the men are still breadwinners. However, marriage is, what we're just trying to emphasize is that it's a, I don't want to use the word partnership, but I have to use it. But first of all, it's a covenant. But we are in this thing together. Are you getting my point? So it's not as if it is your job to do this, and then me, I will not do any other thing. No. We are in it together. As a woman, I'm not coming in to come and be a burden to you. And I don't actually expect you to be a burden to me. In fact, why the Bible does not talk about some things much is simply because it is so off. Are you getting my point? Like, it, for example, the Bible does not tell, how do I say it now? The Bible normally will not tell women to do the role of a man. God just assumed that some things are the duties of men. So he will caution the men to do their duties. Now, so that what you find is that you find a lot of rebuke when men are not doing their duties. Everybody has a primary duty, but we all have secondary duties. Let me give an example. If I'm unable, maybe I'm ill, I cannot earn money. I'm ill for a whole year. I can't go to work. I can't preach. I can't do anything. And my wife is healthy. What stops her from earning the money? I don't know whether you are getting my point. Because we are in it together. That's what we are trying to emphasize, that we are together. All right, but then we have primary responsibilities. Generally, the Paul will say nature itself does teach. So nature teaches, we know that the primary duty of a woman is home. The primary duty of a man is out. What I mean by out is go, win the bread and come back. However, doesn't mean that the woman can't do something. If you see the virtuous woman in the Bible, the Bible describes her as a woman who was astute in investment. You notice that? She sees a plot of land, she buys it. She takes charge of the home. Her hand is not idle. She weaves. She's a hardworking person. Lydia, you see the story about Lydia. When she died, what was the issue? They saw the handwork that Lydia had done. So you see, the Bible dots it here and there to let us know that women can be industrious. Do you understand my point? But just that it's not their primary duty. In the same manner, you know, I've seen in some countries they try to promote equality between sexes, that is the genders, that a man and a woman, that is just culture that lets us, it's not really just culture. They want to tell you that men can be sit-at-home dads. Believe me, try it for a few years. You will go mental. If you're a normal man. It's just not God's natural thing. So let's get that one clear. So, back to the question. It is not so that it is now these days, most women, it's not. It happens once in a while. And my co-workers and I were still talking about yesterday. It is wrong for a man to be lazy. What women hate, we have found out. Normal women, there are some crazy women out there. Just like you have crazy men. I think there are even more crazy women self. I don't even know. But both of them are there. Crazy people all over the place. We know. We are talking about normal people now. What most normal women don't like is a lazy person. You don't have to be rich. But they find it odd that I've gone to work, you are sleeping. And then you now come back and say, where is food? I should be the one asking you where is food. You'll be home the whole day. Do you understand my point? Uh-huh. Anybody can do anything, actually. Those days when I first arrived in Enugu, I used to close earlier than my wife. She was working then in the bank. They closed late. I get home, the kitchen is dirty. I wash it. We're only two. There was no child. There was no help. There was nobody. Just the two of them, because we were just become one flesh a few days ago. So, I mean, we did things. Do you understand my point? All right? But what I'm trying to say is that, so anybody can do anything. So if you're at home the whole day, cook. So the woman that went there cannot come back home and be cooking. You don't sit down for house since. You get my point? All right? We found out. We discussed it. We were still talking about it yesterday evening here after everybody left. What most women don't like is lazy men. It erodes respect. You say, I've looked for a job I've not found. Better go and wash cars. That's not supposed to be a joke. Go to their washing cars, wash. Come back home with 1,000 naira at the end of the day. Buy bread with it. Buy eggs. Come home with tomato and onion. Are you getting my point? You earn respect like that. Don't be sitting at home idle and say that I'm the man of this house. In her heart, even she's a very quiet woman, I say, oh God, don't be my mouth too. Do you understand? So let's just bear that in mind. I just want to encourage men here, whether you are single or married, you must be hardworking. You lead by example. Do you get my point? You must be hardworking. You lead by example. Who earns more money in this life? Let me put it like this. It's not dependent on whether you're hardworking or you're not. You know that. There are people who earn millions every month. They don't have work harder than those who earn a few thousands. So we're talking about the principle of being industrious, laboring. Okay? So, that's all I can say about that. It is not the woman's primary duty. When the husband is healthy, there are people that have problems. The man is critically ill. But the two has become one flesh. You can't run away because your husband is ill now. So those are exceptional situations. That is when friends and family come together and help to support the whole setup. But if you are healthy, there's nothing like I've looked for work I can't find. If you are married, there is nothing. Look, let me tell you a story. Once I went to preach in Port Harcourt. That was last year or the year before. A brother came to see me afterwards. We were talking at the end. You know, there are people you see, you know, God has blessed them from the generations before. You know, you see their skin. You know, this skin never hawk before. There are people that they carry to school in air-conditioned cars since they were small. And he told me honestly that his parents are well-to-do. But he's married, he has two kids. He works in a company that when all things went down, they didn't pay them for months. He told me, he said, sir, I learned to paint. I don't know whether you get my point. Ajebota. When to learn to paint. You know what they call Jebota? He said, look, that from what he has learned, he was just telling me what the word of God has done in his life. That he said he couldn't go back to his parents and be begging for money. He said, even though he knew they had. He said, but I'm a man for goodness sake. After months, his company did not pay. Ah. He said, he saw that his friends were building houses. So he went to them, guys, what can I do here? Which one is easy work? So they taught him how to paint. So he became a painter. He's an engineer by training. Do you get my point? He became a painter. Until things resume, then they improve. Then he'll go back to the other job. He said, but man, I have to go back home with money for my family. That's how a real man behaves. And I mean, some people, when things were good for them, they bought a car. Things are rough now. You just see they go. They just stop somewhere, find three passengers, quickly drive to... you won't know the man just quickly rush to Lagos like that. His wife will wonder, where did you go this morning? He will come back home at 10 o'clock. Some men, they won't tell their wives. The guy don't rush passengers to Lagos from Moka. You'll be surprised. You come back in the evening. But at least he has money. What God does not like, let me say women. You see, there's no work in this country. 9 o'clock. How can there be work when you are sleeping at 9? How can there be work in the country? Do you understand? There are so many things. If you just say, look, I tell people that if you take that little book, you know, marriage books sell a lot. We don't market our books aggressively because they are spiritual books. So I just feel that if you want it, go and look for it. I'm not going to be begging you, buy. No. My attitude is that it's a spiritual book. If you want it, go and look for it. But we make it available. We have brought them here. They're on our website. But sometimes I tell people that take a book like, Shall I Say Yes? All right? That's my book on marriage. Go to the traffic and speak, just sweet talk people. How much do we sell the books? It's not 700 naira or so? 700, okay. They're about anyway. 700, 800, not sure. But if you say, okay, if you come and meet Felix, that's one of our brothers who manage the ministry on the other end for us. Say, please, Felix, I beg. Just give me 10 of these books. Just between you and I beg. You know me, I will give you the money. If you get to a wholesale, wholesalers get a huge discount. If you know you want to go and sell it. You can give her 30% off. You get the book at like 600 naira or so. You go to the traffic. If you're able to sell 4 in a day, 400 times 4, how much is that? 1,006. Sell 5, you've made 2,000 naira with sweet mouth. Just talk, go from one office to the other. Read one section to them. People have commented that they've been blessed by the book. I tell people, they look, you tell one 1,000, they will give you the 1,000. Yesterday evening, one lady came after we had left here, you know, just introduced herself, brought out CDs. That is her CD, please. I said, one, in my mind, I don't know you. I may not enjoy the music. But I told Inka with me, I said, but we have to buy this. I said, the woman is hustling. Let's encourage the hustle. I just did night after we had all left here, after this place had become empty. She walked in, looked for us. I bought the CD. When I go home, I'll play it. If I don't like it, I keep it. But I didn't buy it because I wanted the music. I just respected her hustle. I was in the park in Port Harcourt. A man came. He said, I'm a pastor. Please, this is my book. Nicely packaged book. I said, how much is it? He said, 400 naira. I gave him 500 naira. He didn't. He was looking for a chance. I said, God, don't worry. But in my mind, I was feeling sorry for him. It's my colleague. You get to my point. I knew what the man was going through. But the man had to survive. Instead of twisting the word of God to raise money, he decided to be selling his books. So I supported his hustle. So that is what we need in life, men. Get up and hustle. Don't start lying down at home, say there's no work in the country. It's an insult. I know men who are looking for workers. It's not work. It's workers they are looking for. They won't pay you $1 million a month, I know. But at least they'll be able to earn your respect at home. If your children are not going to expensive schools, you'll be able to pay their school fees. And one thing is that they will be able to eat. That breakfast and dinner for children, it must not be missing. You can lose weight, we don't care, but those children must eat. And it doesn't cost so much to feed them. But lying there at home, doing that, there's no job in this country, is what the sin is. That one, my iniquity. You may go to hellfire if I'm the one decided. The Lord is good. Turn to the man beside you, say, oh, he nah, no. Oh, God. All right, the Lord is good. I took a lot of time on that, but I think it's important. We are training young men, all right? You don't have to be rich to marry, but when you marry, you must be responsible. Please, you must be responsible. You lead by example. All right? Don't let your daughter lose respect for men. It's not good. It's not good. Get up. People say that I can't do that. I said, the worst way to make money in life, the worst non-criminal way, listen to this, the worst non-criminal way to make money in life is begging. Anything worse than begging is a crime, stealing. The closest to stealing is begging. But begging is not a crime, it's not a sin. So if you can beg, it means therefore any job is better, is okay for you. Once you can beg, any job is okay. Go and meet your friends. Do school run for them. Take their own car. So don't worry, I will help you guys gather your children after school and drive them home. Say, look, now money are defined. Guys, no. If two or three of your friends gather money together, you'll be amazed at how much money you go home at the end of the day. You don't have a car of your own. But you'd rather go and beg them for money. Offer them your service. They need something. Every man here, you don't have to be rich, but you must not be lazy. You must not be lazy. You don't have to be rich, but you mustn't be lazy. You should be, no, okay, I'm stuck on this, but I will get stuck. I don't mind. I'm stuck. Before I release myself, let me finish. In life, you must be known for something. What I mean is that when people are thinking of you, something should come to mind. Ask yourself, what will people need? And they will call my attention. Do you get my point? If you don't have it yet, go and find it. I mean, like in my house now, if suddenly I'm thinking that, I need to get this done. Maybe the house has some issues. I need to get somebody to do, get it done. It's one of our brothers. He does a lot of good work. I just say, let's call CJ. I know he will know somebody will do this or do this or do this one himself. Are you getting my point? Oh, we need to get a taxi. Immediately, I'll just call. The tall reverend or Kelo Kemute. Please get me a taxi man. Are you getting my point? Instantly on their phone, they will scroll to somebody, taxi. I don't know whether you get my point. So, there are people that they know that if I need taxi, I call this person. We need to print something instantly. Stanley, do you understand? Make sure your name is connected with a need in somebody's life. That is what prosperity is. But if it's at any time people see your phone call, they say, I'm waiting, you won't ask for it again. It's not good. Make sure your name is connected with a need. What I mean is that when somebody needs, I need to have my car repaired. This car is giving me a problem. It is you they call, you know. And you have delivered good service over time and you are reliable. In the first year, you may not make much money. By the third, fourth year, you will be so busy. Your phone will always be buzzing. That is what prosperity is. I think I've said enough. You can leave it. The Lord is good. Now, something else here. Citing the case of Paul and Peter, where Paul scolded Peter in Galatians, what then is the right way to correct a man of God or a fellow Christian? And what is the right attitude expected of the person being corrected? The attitude of the person being corrected is humility, submissiveness. Listen, but you cannot expect attitude of people. None of your business. I've only said that in case you are the one being corrected. Now, let me just drop something for you. If you are being corrected, even wrongly, never argue, never react. Just hear it. Do you understand? Just hear it. I know people that behind, people talk about, I know a few. They say, if you don't want that woman's wahala, don't correct her. So if you are getting along well, just leave it like that. The day you correct her, your relationship will come to an end. And you'll be, they are talking about somebody now. And these are her friends. Say, hey, that girl or that woman, leave her. If you don't want your relationship to end, don't correct her. It's a bad thing. If you are like that, stop it. When they want to correct you next time, do like this. You're not happy, but just take it. It may be saving your life. So that one, what to expect of other people, I can't answer. It's what to expect of yourself. That's one I can answer. But how do you correct a man of God? First, let me tell you, if it's not your personal friend, it's none of your business. If you don't have a personal relationship, don't even bother. If you try to correct me, unless with you, I won't listen to you. Do you know why? I don't know you. I've gotten a lot of people trying to correct me. Once I should go and change my wife's picture on our website that it does not glorify God. That girl not glorify God. Something to worry you. Now, that is what I think. Are you getting my point? I really think you're not okay. I look the photo. This photo not glorify God. I don't have a picture here. This was some time ago. I thought the picture very beautiful. Alright? I didn't even listen. I just said, my friend, Claire. You know that kind of attitude. My friend, get away. So, people I don't know, I get all kinds of crazy mails. Some people will tell you that they don't like the way I talk. Some say, how can I call TB Joshua a fake man of God? If I say a goat, wouldn't I call him a goat? I hear all kinds of things. So it's not everybody you can correct. Alright? Now, I'm going to say that for that reason, because I get so many of such mails, I've learned to, my skin is thick. I just ignore most people who want to tell me what to do. I don't even listen. You know, like I won't even read it. If I know that you want to tell me what to do and I don't know you, you may think it's pride or something. I just delete it because there are many of you who think your job is to be telling me how to walk. That shirt you wore for that preaching is not befitting of a man of God. You should have put a collar around your neck. You know, funny things like that. One told me that he has been watching me. I'm leading people to hellfire. So if I need to correct, if I want to repent, I should call him. I'm not kidding. Yo, to you think he's crazy? You see people like me all over the country leading people to hell. And that's why I should call him if I need counseling. Now you are laughing. What I'm telling you is not the, it really happened. One said, I hear you preach heresy. In my mind. So that is the reason why somebody like me, I just ignore a lot of those things. It's not because to be corrected is wrong, but you don't take correction for everybody on the street. You'll be tossed to and fro. So that is why in the same manner, don't offer it to everybody. You have to have a relationship. Alright? What you owe most people is pray for them. Do you get my point? If you really think somebody you can't talk to needs to learn something, and you think it's important that you have prayed about it, then don't correct on trivial things. Pastor Frank, why are you already wearing yellow over green? It's not a good color. Is that, why do you correct me on such things? I don't wear yellow over green. I'm just giving as an example. You say, when you are preaching, you don't wipe your face enough. Do you follow my point? Those are what I call trivial matters. But if they are important things, and you have a mutual friend, you understand, that can talk to me, then you can talk to that person. You can go to the person and say, please, can you talk to your friend about this? That's about the best you can do. All right? The idea is that you cannot go and correct. You don't correct your seniors. First, that is the attitude that, let me correct somebody who's your senior is wrong. Women do that sometimes. You want to correct your husband. It's a very bad thing. As long as I tell my wife, I say, make your request. I say, when you come down and say, this thing you are doing is not good. I say, what gave you the right to say it's not good? You don't think I realize it is, I think it is good. I may be wrong. Now, get my point. I'm not saying I'm right. But if you tell me it's not good, you forgot that I think it is good. So we now have a stalemate. You say it's not good, I say it's good. So who should I believe now? I mean, who have, and then I'm the husband. I mean, God said you should agree with me that it is good. So what am I going to do? But if you say, please, this thing you do, I don't like it. Can I ask you not to do it again? Then in my mind, okay, you, it's not good, I do it to you. Whether it's good or bad is irrelevant, but it hurts my wife. Are you getting my point? So I stop. But if you come and tell me it is not good, I say, madam, Matthew chapter what, verse what? You don't correct your seniors. This is wrong. You make your requests. Can I request of something? Or can I suggest something? There is something I think there's a better way to do it. So is you correct your juniors. Don't do that again. It is out of order. That's correction. But if I think I'm going off and you're I'm your senior, say, please, there's something I want to ask you. Sometimes when this happens, there's a way it makes me feel. I don't know whether you ever thought about it. Can you see? It's slightly different. That just by the way. Oh, let me talk about marriage more. If you're a wife, don't try to run your husband. Make your requests. You see, you will be coming after nine at home, and you're a man. Don't you realize that the streets are dangerous? If that guy doesn't throw you out through the window, he's a very patient man. But if you're like, my husband, my heart is never at rest when you're not home on time. Do you understand? Then he's feeling sorry for your heart that's not at rest. And I say, my wife, sorry. I upset you like that. Just that, you know, I normally don't like leaving the office late and the traffic. Okay, I'll try. But you say, by nine, as a man, you're an adult. You should know you should be home. You know, you go look like, are you talking to your first son or me? And someone has said that he doesn't listen to correction. If it was you, would you listen to that kind of correction? The Lord is good. We'll leave it there. So the next question, there is a long teaching on sin nature and all of that. So please, I'll have to read that. I have to just let that one go. The Lord is good. Uh-huh. I don't really get this question. The Great Commission, I believe, is non-negotiable for a believer. That is true. We're supposed to all go into the world and preach the gospel. But is there a standard that one must train the people he wins to Christ, or else he will go to hell, not make heaven? I really don't get it. But what I can just say is this. Everybody, you don't just, your aim when you are preaching the gospel, Jesus said, is to teach, is to make disciples, not just give your life to Christ. Giving your life to Christ is not just a prayer. The fellow must become a disciple of Christ. Do you understand my point? So you encourage people, what you just do, you can't teach one person, you preach to somebody, doesn't mean you'll be the one to disciple him forever. Introduce people to churches, fellowships, where other people can come together. Introduce them to a group of believers that together they can grow. You can't do everything, no, please. This modern day, encourage people, give them books, give them materials, but most importantly, introduce them to a fellowship of believers. It's important. Now, you that wrote this question, I think you're very funny. You wrote that, was the sacrifice of Abel a worship to God? Of course, the answer is yes. You now say, if it was, why did the sacrifice bring death? You see, people are laughing. It's very funny, really. Because sometimes worshiping God kills. Thank you. It's true. You think serving God always saves your life? No. Go and read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, they refused deliverance that they might get a better resurrection. So people die by faith. Prophecies will die a lot in Israel. When Jesus was going to judge them, he said that the blood of, from the time of Abel to Zacharias, who perished between the porch and the altar, that he brought upon that generation. Jesus said that it is forbidden that the prophet should perish outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem used to kill prophets a lot, and God will lead them there for death. You think worshiping God always means that God will deliver you? Many people don't burn, they don't roast. How many people know the story of Polycarp? Polycarp, after they betrayed him, was an old man that time. They said he should denounce Jesus Christ. He said, all these years have I served him. And he has never wronged me. Why would I deny him now? So they tied him to the stake. They wanted to tie him to the stake, where they had put the wood and everything to light the fire. He said, no point, that he's not going to run. He told them not to tie him. He stood still and they burnt him. He did not move. Burnt him alive. You've heard the story. All these years I have served him. He was Polycarp and he died serving God. Killing people who die worshiping God is normal. If you go to India today, in a state in India that's predominantly Christian, they will show you the tomb of Thomas, the apostle of Jesus, where he was killed and buried in India. The only one of the apostles of Jesus that died a natural death was John. And that was because Jesus did not let them kill him. They tried their best to kill him. He just wouldn't die. After a while, they left him. He was the only one that... So, serving Jesus, they kill him. Don't think it always brings a private jet. I like this question. If I'm not going to be accepted for my own good works, what then is the place of good works in the life of a Christian? Have you accepted me here because I'm breathing? I'm preaching to you. I've taken hours this morning to pay attention to my co-workers and I. Is it because we are breathing? Yet, if we are not breathing, are we not dead? That's how it is. Anybody, if we have not been, okay, you didn't breathe since yesterday afternoon. You know, there's anything like that. That means that you died yesterday afternoon. Good works in the life of a Christian is breathing. It's an automatic sign that your faith is alive. If you're indeed a child of God, good works come out of you automatically. You are not doing it to get anything, but if you are not doing it, your faith is dead. That's what James said. Sometimes people say that you are not, even if you are living like an unbeliever, once you believed in Jesus 5 years ago, you are still saved. It's a lie. Because it just shows to us that your faith is false. James said, can such a faith save anybody? He said, faith can be dead. So those who are not doing good works, their faith is dead. He said, faith without works is dead. You are accepted by faith, but if it doesn't have works, how do we know it's alive? It's not alive. Very good question, but that is the answer. If you go to our blog, I have something like this. Why James had to write? Salvation by faith. Why James had to write? Many people thought they are saved, even though they are living in sin. Most of those people are not saved. They are deceived. They say, I have assurance of salvation. I said, those who came to Jesus and said, we saved your name, they too had assurance. Yet, they were not saved. It's okay, how do I know I am born again? I'll tell you. Faith, the problem is definition of faith. Faith does not mean I agree. Faith means I'm totally committed to. If I'm totally committed to Jesus, I can't be living carelessly. If I'm living carelessly, it shows I'm not totally committed. My faith is fake. There are two things the Bible makes clear to us are the signs of being a true believer of Christ Jesus. Faith is in the heart, but he has signs. Number one is repentance. I'm going to read it. Peter preached it. Paul preached it. Paul made it clear. I've been preaching repentance and reunite to God. That's what he called faith. Paul didn't understand that people who did not repent were saved. Did he understand that? He said that if indeed your faith is genuine, I will see repentance in your life. Number two, Jesus did not call us to go and make people who answer altar call. He went to say we should go and make disciples. So you want to know whether you are a true believer, check, am I a disciple of Jesus? That's what it means. Who's a disciple? A student trying to fine-tune my ways to be fitting with that of my Lord. He said a disciple, when he has been fully trained, is like his master. So who's a disciple? The one who's been trained to become like Jesus. That's, look, that's what I understand. If you say, am I born again? That's the meaning of I'm born again. That is, every day, I'm shaping my life to become like Jesus. Not living carelessly. Committing all forms of immorality, stealing people's money, defrauding people, and say, I gave my life to Christ 6 years ago. Once saved, I'm always saved. Nonsense. You realize that once dead, you're always dead. Very soon. So that's what I mean. How does one accept and assure himself that he or she is born again? Ask yourself, which direction am I facing? Am I facing the direction of Jesus and improving? Paul said, add to your faith virtue. And so Peter, he said that. Now this brother says that, I don't know, it's a lady anyway. How can I walk in the Spirit? Is it what I have to learn? What does it take? He said, flesh. I like your question. He said, flesh, I understand. But Spirit, I don't. I like that question. Very interesting. You guys, the flesh, don't worry. We know that one. But tell us what it means to walk in the Spirit. Now, please, let me just really say, when Paul said that in Galatians chapter 5, he was not saying, I talked about it yesterday, he was not saying that learn to do, my spirit says, that's not what it means. It means walk on two, on this basis. One, love for God and love for other people. Love for God, what is it? It's not, oh, God, come close, let me give you a kiss. That's not love for God. So I love Jesus, I feel like hugging him. Oh, when I see Jesus, I'm going to hug him. I'm just going to hug him. That's an American mindset. When you see Jesus, you are going to fall down and worship him. When John saw him, he felt as if he was dead. You are not even coming to hug anybody. Forget that thing. Oh, daddy, when I see Jesus, I think I'm just going to hug him and give him a big kiss. Ask John. John that used to lie in his bosom. When he saw him, he fell down as if he was dead. You get the point. What does it mean to love Jesus? He said, if a man loves me, he will obey my instructions. How do you walk in the Spirit? My brother, it's not about checking my spirit. It's that every day I obey the instructions of Jesus. Simple things like, don't worry, I don't worry. Do you understand my point? Simple things like, give, and it shall be given to you. I give as a matter of habit. Simple things like, make disciples of the nations. I tell my neighbor about Jesus. Simple things like, the whole of the Bible is the word of Christ anyway. Simple things like, don't walk, he said, this is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification, that you do not walk in sexual immorality. I obey that. You don't defraud one another. Because of Jesus, I don't defraud anybody. You know, that's what it means. Just obeying the words of Jesus. Believing everything he says. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit too. It doesn't mean that before I move, I first pray. Am I supposed to move? My spirit says move. Good enough. Somebody has asked a question about Balaam. Balaam's spirit said move. But the angel of God almost killed him. I'll get to that question in a moment. Somebody said, I want to know, please, whether there's any situation the blood of Jesus cannot redeem. The answer, which I know, well, generally, no. You say, why do you say generally? Hebrews chapter 6 gives us the only situation. All right? So let's take the general no. Why is it that I have to be decreed the blood of Jesus over a situation? Okay. I get your question now. Reverend Okemute, I understand the question. The person says, okay, if the blood of Jesus can redeem everything, how come I've been pleading the blood over the situation for the last 3 years? It never shifts. Now I understand the question now. Okay. It is not because the blood of Jesus cannot redeem it. There are many reasons why it has not responded. Number one, you don't plead the blood over situations. You plead the blood over your life. Do you understand my point? That is number one. What you plead over situation is the word of God. You declare God's word. And then first of all, you pray about the situation and start declaring God's word over it. That is one. Number two, sometimes things don't shift. They ask Jesus why. He said, because of your unbelief. And of course, I don't have enough time now to start discussing that. Oh, if that's what you mean, the blood of Jesus indeed answers everything. God indeed can work anything. I don't know the details of the situation, so I really cannot say much more. All right? But faith is important. I hear this question a lot. How often will you be coming to Oka to teach? For now, it's not every week. It's not every month. Let's just leave it at every year. We are here 6 months ago. We are here today. So let's just enjoy while they last. Amen? We are on radio, 3 radio stations reach here, right? Solid FM, I teach it 3 times a week. Just short, 10 minutes, 3 times a week. Blaze FM, how often is Blaze FM? Ola Yinka? Every Monday, that's 30 minutes. 6:30. Yeah, 6:30 p.m. every Monday, Blaze FM. Solid FM is Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 6:30 or 6:40. 6:50 to 7, yes. It's 10 minutes to 7. That's Solid FM. Some of you came here because you heard the announcement on Solid FM. All right? And then on Sundays, Dream FM, Pastor Kemute teaches word versus word. You hear his voice almost most Sundays. Once in a while, but once a month, you hear my voice there too. Okay, but we're there teaching the word. So that's how often we teach in Oka. But please, as per opening a place here, it's not going to happen in the next 15 years. Okay, that's a joke. But we have no such plans. That's all I can just say. We just come once in a while like this. As God has opened this door, we take advantage of it. The person said, because truly most of us have lost faith in the teachings in our churches. I understand that. But I want to just say, I'm not the only one teaching the truth. Many other people are. I personally recommend Derek Prince. I recommend Kenneth Hagin. I recommend David Paulson. Yes, I recommend those people. There are so many people there that are teaching. But these people, their materials are all on the internet. David Paulson is there, his website. You learn a lot. Derek Prince is there on his website. You learn a lot. Okay? Can we have your phone number for private counseling? In fact, if it was you, would you give your phone number for private counseling? Don't you want to live long? Ask Pastor Kemude for his phone number for private counseling. He don't retire. Initially, he was the ginger at that time. He hand out your phone number. He don't almost die. So he has stopped it now. This question is very hard for me. So maybe Pastor Kemude will help me. Can a Christian enter into a covenant with God with a sacrifice like chicken at 5,000? Goat at 20,000? I renew it every year with a higher sacrifice. That would be cow at 500K. My brother, I realize they go some churches. You must have learned this in some strange churches. No, you can't. How can I be entering covenant with chicken with God? Wait a minute. Are you running a restaurant or something? I better stop that joke, yeah? You see, all of us are laughing at your pastor. Don't mind your pastor, he wants to eat chicken. Leave that to me. Rather, if you want to serve God, forget these things. If you want to, look, listen, this is how Christians give money. Please read my book, How to Work for God and Grace to Prosper. I talked about it. Anytime God gives you money, most times, all the money is not your own. Apportion the money. It's called seed for the sower and bread for food. You honor people. You help the needy. Those are the two things you do. Of course, you preach the gospel. I must not forget that one. I mistakenly left on that honoring people. Your money must preach the gospel. You understand? Your money must honor people. And your money must help the needy. You're not the poorest person in the world. There's somebody you can help. Are you getting my point? Do those three things with your money and leave it like that. As for the rest, serve God with all your heart. If you go to a church, the roof is leaking. The roof must be patched. Some people say, your pastor should go and look for money. From where? It's from people like you now. So you contribute money and patch the roof. Like earlier on, we're praying. We are in Oka because somebody said, no, this thing has to come to Oka. You understand? And paid for it to come. We go to Port Harcourt 4 times a year. The only money we spend going to Port Harcourt is our fuel money and our car. Hall, advert, everything. Including even we are on radio in Port Harcourt twice a week. And Port Harcourt radio is expensive. We don't pay. How did they pay? It doesn't concern us. Do you understand? That's people using their money to preach the gospel. Do you understand my point? Okay, so it happens. So your money must bring the little way. One of the reasons why people, you give offerings in church, in places like this is, I may not have 100,000 naira to do something, like this, but I have 500 naira, I have 200 naira, I have 100 naira. So we do that as a matter of conscience. Not when we are looking for God, you want to enter covenant. Listen, The only covenant God understands is the one in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't negotiate anything. It takes your whole life. It's not that I say, God, I have made a covenant. I will be giving you 200 naira every Monday. He will take the 200 naira, but it's not a covenant. It's a promise. It's a good thing that you want to do. Are you getting my point? Good works are good. It's not a covenant. If you want to give chicken, say, look, I have a friend, one of our brothers. He said he made up his mind in his house, he and his wife. They made up their mind that their pastor and his wife and children will never be hungry. And God has given them the resources. So whatever the man wants to do doesn't concern them. Every month they give him a bag of rice. Every month. They don't. Every month they just. Oh, okay. That is. It must not be that you can't eat so you cannot preach. That will ensure that food is never lacking on your table. If you say you want to chop ice cream, we will not buy. Look for money from elsewhere. But our own is that in the morning you wake up, there's no bread. There's no cornflakes. There's no egg. No. We'll make sure that never happens. Afternoon, you're hungry. There must be beans in that house. There must be soup. And he does that on a monthly basis. They deliver substance. So at least, if the pastor says he's called hunger, he's preaching nonsense, God will say it's a lie. That guy, I put him there so that hunger will never be a temptation to you. He doesn't have to use it to ask God for anything. That is how Christians live. Somebody said, what is the rule of good works? That is how we are. You know, my children don't realize that you're supposed to labor for food. You know why? They have a father, they have a mother. And I'm not sowing a seed into their lives. I'm just feeding them. Why? Who else will feed them? It's my job. I was born to feed them. They were born to be fed by me. So that's how it is with Christian work also. If I give money towards the preaching of the gospel, I've not done anything strange. Who else will preach it? Dangote. Didn't you see that Dangote's name is Alaji? Is it right for me to go to Dangote and say, oh God, give us money to preach the gospel? It's nonsense. I won't do that. If he walks in here now, I will make him sit at the back. And God knows I'm not kidding. One day somebody wanted to give us money in Benin. Said we should send somebody to his office. Good. Inka didn't even tell me. By the time Inka was done with him, the guy felt insulted. If you want to give us money, they don't they go bank for in our office. No. Inka said, listen, okay, people give us money from different places. We have never gone to anybody's office. He said, he has money for the God. When Inka told me, I said, good. The answer you gave him is good. Me, I will come to your office, he crease for head. You literally decrease for head. Because you want to give offering. Nonsense. If you want to give offering, go to the bank. We have a bank account. Request for our account number. We will send it to you. Then when the money hits, we will send you thank you. In fact, that thank you self. Bishop Wedekpo says not good. We'll receive, we appreciate. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord increase you. May fruit accrue to your account. Hallelujah. Leave on there. Did you tell me thank you when I was preaching? I must, whether you say thank you or not. So whether I thank you or not, whether I continue giving. Everybody doing work. So bros, forget that chicken offering. Yeah? Chop your chicken. Share with your pastor. If you want to give, give. I like people who give as a habit. It's good. Automate your giving. You know what they call automate? You earn a regular salary. Say, this is the place I give to. Go to your profile. The direct debit every month. You don't have to think about it. Money is not your own. It's our money. You know what they call our money? All of us. You, body of Christ, your father. I hope you send something to your father once in a while. If you are here, you are not honoring your father. You are not honoring your mother. Huh. Stop smoking. No, it's not good. Yeah, it's only when you smoke, you don't do things like that. You have a father, he's alive. I don't care whether he's rich or poor. Periodically, he must receive something from you. Go buy the house. Transfer credit to his phone. I say, my father has money. That's not it. Bible says his son honors his father. This is your chicken covenant. You know what you will do with it? Make it to your father. Tell God, every month I will deliver complete chicken to my father. It's good. Your father must eat your chicken, eat the eggs. Let him just get up one day and just realize a whole goat has been prepared and delivered. What happened? Ah, Nnamdi was a pastor. He said, let him give you goat. You call him, what is going on? Daddy, the Bible says a son honors his father. Christmas, buy cloth for your mother. Plenty. Say, I don't need it. Doesn't matter. Let her give to her neighbors who need it. And you that are doing all of this, you don't have money. You don't even have a car. You are still owing the keke man, self. Okay, pay the keke man. What I'm trying to say is that you're not rich. These are not things that people have eaten and are full. These are normal lives for believers. Another question. Christians being the light of the world, should they go into politics? What do you think? What the vice president, what is he doing? Our vice president is a true Christian. I hope you know. He's not a joker. I met him. Well, I was there. I mean, it's not as if I met him, introduced myself, but we're in a small meeting. Many years ago, that was around 97, 98, we organized an outreach. So they said, who do we invite? Somebody said, there's this young professor in Lasso. Let's invite him. He'll be very good for us, because our outreach was to professionals. So we invited him as one professor in Lasso to come and preach at our evangelistic outreach. That was the first time I met Professor Yemi Osinbajo. Being vice president, is that not politics? Trust me. There's nothing wrong with Christians being in politics. And then whatever depends on you, do it properly. You can do good governance. All right? I've answered this other one about the seminar being regular. Somebody says, in Christmas is not Christian in origin. Is it right for we Christians to continue celebrating Christmas? I won't lie to you. I don't know. No, you think I know everything? I don't think about it. That's just the issue. I've never processed it like she would say. I don't. Not because it is bad. I just don't celebrate things. Just like me, apart from birthday, I believe in birthdays. I believe in birthdays. I didn't used to believe in birthdays until I read my Bible one day and I realized you must always find a cause to celebrate. And that's why I do it. Okay? Just to be happy. Just gather people. Just eat. Just eat. You know, sometimes you just buy plenty food, plenty drink. Everybody just sit down, just eat. What's going on? We are thanking God. But when I say celebrating, I mean like Christmas, Easter, New Year, Eid al-Fitri, Eid al-Malud. That's a joke. Just added that one to it. So for me, I don't. I just don't. It's just me. It's just always been like. So I've never given it serious thought. So I'm sorry. I really cannot seriously. I can't answer that. Somebody said wants me to throw more light on what I meant when I said tithing is not compulsory. You think I have that time? Believe me, I don't. He said, you want to know, okay, this one I can answer you. Well, why I don't have that time is that these are discussions we've had for so many times. I can't start them again. But you can read my book, the old edition of, it's an old book, not really an old edition. New edition will come out later. Grace to Prosper and How to Work for God. And then, So We Pay for This. In those three books, I address these things here and there. All right? But you know, you also asked that what's my advice for someone who feels he made a vow under compulsion or manipulation? Should the person go ahead and redeem the vow? This is kind of tricky. Man of God, what do you think? Well, it depends on the kind of vow. If it's a money vow, pay it off and forget it. If it's a lifetime vow, bros, revise it. Go and kneel down to God, say, I'm sorry. That vow where I talk yesterday, like I say, I don't think well. That's what I think. It depends on which kind of vow. If it's money vow, and it's money you can pay it off and just forget it. But next time, don't let anybody put pressure on you. You can release yourself from some vows, but just that you don't do it by yourself. You can walk up to your pastor. Maybe you vow that you will roof the church and say, oh God, now forget that roofing thing unless you... unless you are ready to wait for like 50 years. Because you went and made a vow, you want to roof the church. You have not even roofed the bungalow, or the single room that you are staying in. There's no ceiling. You never seal that one. You want to roof a whole church. It was because they brought one powerful man. He has made you to vow something dangerous that which God will. You don't vow dangerous thing. You've seen the danger in it yourself. And sometimes, please, honestly, go and beg your pastor. Say, Oga, I beg no vex. Let me tell God, say, enough it. Believe me, nothing bad will happen to you. Just beg him. Say, ah, this guy is in there. Ah. It's about say, you must pay the vow. Okay, no trouble. In 25 years, we'll discuss again. Alright, so, like I said, generally, if it's a small thing, do it and let it go. But if it's a big thing, yes, you can go to people that are involved and explain to them. Yes, and for me, I think it's right. Okay? Bible said, go and deliver yourself. It said, like you have made yourself a vow, what they call this, too shorty for a stranger. I said, quickly go and deliver yourself. There are times you deliver yourself from some things. And if you're a woman, let me tell you how to do it. Just go and meet your husband. So I vow something dangerous. Now that you're hearing it, you have 24 hours to acknowledge it. Your husband will say, lie, I will not agree. Say, thank you. Say, God, my husband said no. Scriptural. You are free. So my husband said no. All right. I don't have enough more time to handle that. Who has the sole authority to decide a marriage, God or one's parents? Are they fighting? Yeah, do you get my point? That's when you start saying sole authority, because actually, everybody holds power under God. So when I exert authority on some issues in my home, it's not me, it's the power of God, the authority of God delegated to me. That's why I tell my children, you can't go out, come back home, sit down, don't do this. You can't say that, Daddy, we have prayed. God said he doesn't agree with you. You know, it doesn't happen like that. Uh-huh. So unless they are disagreeing, okay? But let's go on and read. Broadly, if because of doctrine, one's parents refuses one to marry someone who has, and you have strong conviction, and love to marry the person, what do you do in such situations? That's a bit tricky. It takes a long time to discuss things like this, and they tend to also vary from point to, that is, from each issue to another issue. Now, generally, when parents have a lot of authority. Let me just put it like that. So it's not, especially when you're a lady. If you're a man, it's different. When you're a lady, it's even more important that you get their consent for things. Now, when they are making objections on very ungodly reasons, you will have to wait them out with prayer. All right? With prayer. Now, why I'm saying ungodly is that sometimes somebody just says something, like one of our brothers called me the other day and was saying that the mother said, no, I don't want any woman from that area. That's an ungodly thing. But there are times in which it's not like that. And the fact that you are convinced and you love is simply, it only means you love to marry. There's no conviction of it. It's not your spirit. It's just you. Don't lie. Say it's God that said I must marry this girl. Nah. You like the girl. Nothing wrong with it. Just don't put God's name and use it to be harassing the rest of us. We can't counsel you again because you say, I was praying. My spirit said yes. That your spirit, do you know the kind of thing you fed it? When Balaam fed the spirit covetousness, he had go. So, what I'm going to say is that sometimes when your spirit, you are personally convinced about something, the authority figures in your life become a check. So sometimes just, you have to be willing to wait for God to do his work, changing their minds, or sometimes you find that it's your own mind that gets changed. So really, it's tricky. I really can't discuss that in details now. But if somebody is objecting based on things that are against God, Peter said, judge it yourselves. Should we obey God or obey man? Sometimes authority people, they go against God. Do you understand? So when it comes to such times, but you don't just go rashly and oppose them. Especially when you're a lady. You have to wait them out with prayer. But you too, you will not budge. And please, I always tell Christians, on Christianity matter, they shouldn't find out you're a believer when you want to marry. That is the one that causes problems. One brother called me the other day. I said, my mother never objected to the fact, because my father was not like that. But my mother never objected to the fact that my wife is from Delta State, even though I'm from Ondo State. I said, one of the reasons is that if she objected, she couldn't express it. Why? She believes since I was young that I was stubborn. And when it came to faith matters, she said, this guy is even more stubborn. We had argued on things like taking medicine or not taking medicine. I don't know whether you are getting my point. We had argued on things like how I spent money, how I didn't spend money. How I didn't buy what my friends bought because God didn't require us to buy such things. We had discussed some things. This issue of are you going abroad or not? I have told her things like a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. I've quoted Archbishop Idahosa, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. Are you getting my point? We have gone on through these things. So marriage was it wouldn't be the first time we're disagreeing on something. But some of you have agreed on everything until marriage. You now say God spoke to you. You are lying to yourself. God didn't tell you anything. Just that now your love is now in it. You now say, no, I will never disobey God. You've disobeyed God for a long time. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Sometimes we want to now stand our ground when it comes to marriage. Meanwhile, we couldn't stand our ground when we're spending our money. Christmas, don't go to your auntie's house. You did not go. You didn't stand your ground that time. When everybody was fearing, say, let us come and do family deliverance, you went. They brought Ibi Joshua to do deliverance for you. You put your head there. Then now marriage time now. You're now saying that God spoke to me. God didn't say anything to you. You all fell in love. And when you fall, get up. I say, fall. Nonsense. No, it's very annoying. It is the first, it's marriage time. They now know you're a Christian. When they were doing goat sacrifice in your family for the sins of the previous generation, you stood there. You bought the goat, thank you. According to this pastor here. You cooperated with every rubbish in the family. They say your auntie is a witch. You agreed. Your auntie brought food Christmas time. You joined them not to eat it. That is when you should have shown that they are a believer. You will have brought the food, sat down and say, your brother will say, hey, daddy said we shouldn't eat it. Oh, that is auntie that brought it. Daddy, she's a witch. Don't you know she's a witch? Say, wait, let me show you superior witchcraft. Sit down. Tell your brother, put your hand like this. And say, what do you want to do? Say, I want to give you bigger incantation that casts out all kinds of small incantations. Say after me. Father, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't finish? Yes, no? Everything has been received with thanksgiving. You begin to eat. When you do that, they will know your Christianity is serious. When you now come, now bring a girl from Maiduguri, they will be the one to follow you to Sambisa Forest. Because they know you are not joking. The Lord is good. We should get that one clear. Can a Christian decide not to go to church again and decide to listen to men of God preach on audio tapes and other means? I beg, I won't join you to disobey God, though. Do not forsake the gathering of one another. Oh. That is what he says. Oh. And when he said that gathering, he said gathering. They also asked crows that time. He didn't say, make sure you read these crows that are circulating. He didn't say so. I understand your issue. It can be difficult. We finish preaching like this. Tomorrow you now get to church. The pastor will now say, this year is our annual witch killing time. You know, you'll be confused. I saw one lady the other day. She came from Port Harcourt, one of my colleagues in the office. He said she has not been to church in 3 months. I said, sis, 3 whole months? He said, look, anytime I go to church, I come back lower than when I went. That I'm tired. And I said, please give me your number. Let me invite you for our next Port Harcourt program. So I forwarded her the invitation. I understand the issue. So what I would just advise is, keep looking. There's usually this 5,000 that God has kept hidden in caves. You understand? Elijah is not the only person there. There will be people hidden. Just keep praying. And when you find people like you, we are sharing the same word, understand the same scripture, then arrange and gather together. You don't have to register a church. A fellowship is good enough. The fellowship meets Sunday evenings. Go there regularly. Sing together. Clap together. Are you getting my point? Share the word together. Then that tape you are listening to, listen to it together. You get the principle? All right, it's important. Please, you cannot just stay at home, all right? It's not sufficient to maintain spiritual balance. I've asked this question because my spirit has rejected the church I go to and other churches. Keep looking, you will find. And what I want to say, I'm not marketing any church, all right? But I found out that a lot of Orthodox churches, they generally are tame. Pentecostals are the ones that have really, they use a lot of Igbo, so they behave sometimes, and you don't know. The way they behave, Pentecostals. Yeah, we do that a lot. Like Okemute, Pastor Banky, people like that. But Orthodox people, they have one thing. Now, I'm not marketing any church, you know, but my experience in living in Enugu and around is a church like an Anglican church, you understand? They are big. They can have a crazy vicar tomorrow, a normal one the following year. So that's how it is. So you'll be able to endure this vicar until his madness has gone. Then the righteous one will come. But they now have fellowships. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. They now have. So a lot of my friends fell back to that when they went through this. When they went through this kind of thing. So what happened? That they just fell back to that. They'll just go to a big Orthodox church, attend service there, then join a fellowship. And those fellowships tend to be team. They tend to stick on God's word. Now I'm not letting the Bible say. I've just given a practical thing that I have observed. And I mentioned the Anglicans because of the revival that they have demonstrated over the last 20 years. It's a lot of things that have been going on in there. In fact, there was a time we sat down and I got 3 Anglican fellowships inviting me for a program side by side, and they did not know each other. And they were from the same diocese. Okay, I'm not sure they were from the same diocese, but one would be AYF, one would be ASF. So they just have different, and the same denomination. That's what I have noticed. So you can just hunt out for things like that. Full gospel also, they tend to be, full gospel, they are saying. Because they don't have no other agenda than just to preach Christ. They're not building any church. They're just looking for a hotel to hire. So you join them. Those are the practical things I personally would recommend. But don't stay at home. No. It becomes, sometimes it borders on arrogance yourself. Yes. So you have to be careful. Don't do that. Okay? There are some questions that some people wrote out. They were quite long. One of them is very personal. So I told one of them, you talk to Pastor Okemu today. That person, I can talk to you for 5 minutes when we are done. I will refer to them at the end. Is it proper to pray for someone, to lead someone, to pray for God to lead someone to people or contact that will help? Of course, it's good. Do some people have more grace of God than others? I would not like to compare. Each person has his own gift. For that reason, you have your grace around your gift. And within the operation of your grace, you will increase daily. Do you get my point? That's the best answer I can give. That is, does somebody have grace more than another person? Don't bother thinking about it like that. The Bible says each of us have grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So as your gift is, so your grace will be. Now, your own grace will increase as you exercise your gift. Are you getting my point? So that's just the answer I'm going to give there. There's no comparison. We are doing different things. We are doing different assignments. Even though we sound alike, we are doing different things. All right? Is it proper to place our trust in doctors and medicine since God is our healer? It is wrong to place your trust in any other person or any other thing apart from God the healer. That is one. 2, the manifestation of God's healing can now vary according to the proportion of your faith. Some, their faith will be so strong, they don't even want doctor to touch them. A man like John Alexander Dowie considers taking medicine a sin. Talking to a doctor, iniquity. If you go to a hospital, when you come to him for prayer, you first repent of going to see a satanic person. Yeah, that's John Dowie. And that's why churches were founded on those principles that as a law, they don't take medicine. So, that's their level of faith. That's the man who started it. But those who now follow the church, many of them fell sick and died and they didn't take medicine. People were now abusing them. These days I've realized that the mistake they made was not that they didn't take medicine, but that they were following the faith of another person. That was their mistake. Because me, I've realized that whether you take medicine or you don't medicine, you go die, you don't go die. They just remain the same. I'm telling you, those who take medicine, they die. Those who don't take, they die. I see them every day. One of Bishop, you were telling me the other day that somebody died in your office. Where's our brother there? The first question I asked him, that was he having this sickness? I said, if that was a sickness, then I feel certain he died because of the drug they gave him. When the doctor gave my mother a drug, I shouted for my mother. I said, don't take that medicine. I shouted. She said, I've heard. I said, Mommy, you have not heard. You have not heard. Let me say it again. I didn't know I had gotten up and I was screaming because I knew if she starts, they're going to kill my mother for me. Some of these doctors don't have experience. When she told me, I said,
tell him. You know, she went back to hospital. My son said I shouldn't take it. And of course, the doctor knew that her son was a doctor. So he said, okay, well. And of course, he's a junior doctor. What does he know? When I said, look, I just told my mother, his problem is lack of experience. And I explained the reason why you can't take that medicine. I won't tell you what it is now. I said, if you take that medicine, and I told one of my colleagues in the office, I said, do you know that somebody gave my mother this medicine? He pointed the name of another person. He said his mother died because of that medicine. So those who take, they die. Those who not take, they die. Those who not take, they live. Those who not take, they live. We don't even know which one is working. So I'm going to explain something. So that's why you can't put your faith. If I say some things, you will lose confidence in human beings. I work in the hospital. Sometimes I will see some things, I will just shake my head. I told somebody, I say, if I fall sick, I must not go to these people. They are dangerous. Yeah. Some of my, I just say, what nonsense is this? You see them make terrible mistakes. America said years ago, 55,000 Americans die every year. No, 60,000 thereabouts die every year because their doctor made a mistake. Every year in America. And the number will have increased because their population has increased. Didn't you hear that they operated the brain of a wrong person in Kenya last month or 2 months ago? That is why you must never put your faith in anybody apart from in God. I have written prescription before when I was a youth copper. They brought a wrong medicine and my nurse injected it. When I came, I saw that vial. I said, sister, what is this vial doing here? He said, it's adrenaline. I said, no, this is adrenaline. She said, hey, oh. That's what she said, hey. I hope you have not given her, hey. She had given, now listen, adrenaline brings blood pressure down. Adrenaline shoots it up. But they sound alike in name. So when the person went to collect it, I don't know how they mixed it up. Give me adrenaline, they gave her adrenaline. The nurse did not check. It came, boom, injected it straight into the vein. The young girl almost died. People rush into the hospital. Better pray first. Say, God, please. Say, the angel don't reach there. If the angel doesn't get there before the doctor, don't go. When you get there, dog, good afternoon. You are checking the room. When you see the curtain move and there's no breeze, you know the angel is there. Say, good. Now sit down. I say, I better go. So my brother, my sister, put your faith in God. All right? Now, having said that, he cannot use people. Do you get my point? I mean, the story I like to tell of Ben Carson was a child who had serious, an aggressive form of brain tumor. And they had condemned the child to death that he could not live. The parents prayed. They prayed. They now came to Ben Carson and said, the Lord said, we should come to you. He, being a responsible doctor, he doesn't listen to the Lord said, that's your problem. Are you getting my point? He has to do his work. So he checked everything. Everything was right. This child's case is hopeless. And he told them as much. And they said no. The mother of the child said no. The Lord said you will help. He said they were so tenacious. He said, let me just do something. Let it not be as if I just drove them away. Are you getting my point? And then he took the child to the theater, let him take another piece of the tissue and check. He took a little bit of the cancer growing in the child's brain and sent to his own pathologist. They reported the same diagnosis. Hopeless, treatable and not treatable, the child is going to die. That was the conclusion he came to. He told them as much. The mother said, the Lord said, you will help. But something just thought came to his mind. He said, let them go and do another x-ray of the boy's brain. So they went and did a scan. They did a scan, and he found out something nobody else, including himself, knew until that day. That tumor was not growing inside the brain stem, where they all thought it was growing, but rather it was compressing it. And that was why they said it was not treatable or operable. He only found out because he said, let me do one last scan. And that's kind of just saw a thin line. He said, guys, it looks like this thing is outside, not inside. rushed the boy back to the theater, removed the whole tumor. A few days later, the boy woke up, went back to normal. So he came and said, okay, now we have removed the tumor the much we can. Let's now give him strong anti-cancer drugs. The mother said, you have done all you are supposed to do. We are going home. His own is that this cancer will come back home in his mind. He said, but their faith brought me this far. Whatever they say, I have to do. He says, at the time I was writing the book, the boy was still perfectly well. The cancer had not come back. Gary Carpenter told the story. He had cancer on his back, melanoma, white man. That's their death sentence. His wife said, let us pray. He said, my faith is too low. I can't pray. He said, what do we do? He said, okay, let us ask God for something. I can ask God for that. That is not as bad as that doctor said. So he and his wife joined hands and said, Father God, they said I have cancer in my back. And it's death sentence. Please, we are going to see the other doctor. But let it be that it's not as bad as the first doctor said. In Jesus' name, amen. So that was what his faith could carry. He went to the other doctor in MD Anderson Cancer Center. That one said, they checked some things and said, oh, came back to him and said, you are very lucky. Yes, you have malignant melanoma. But we have just discovered that the type you have is a new type we've discovered recently. It's called the superficial spreading type. And if you came on time, we'll be able to dig it out and you should be well. They dug out the cancer. 10, 15 years later, he was still well when he was telling the story. So you see, God used the doctors in both situations. But many people, the doctor said, you will die and not live. They went home and said, I will live and not die. You've heard the story of, how many of you know Joel Osteen? His mother, Dodie, the doctor said, you are dead. Cancer of the liver, it kills, doesn't have drugs till today, no treatment till today that we are talking. And the woman, the father knelt down and prayed and said, God, have mercy on my wife. 48 years later, she's still alive. The doctor said, you will die. The husband prayed, he died like 20 years later. The woman is still alive. Till today, Dodie Osteen. Because the husband begged God. You cannot put your faith in anybody, but you may choose to use people. And I've seen you use people again and again. The Lord is good. All right, we're learning about worship, and this has to do with obedience to the word of God. Now, I've read about Balak and Balaam. Why was God angry when God said, Balaam should go? Was it not obeying God? Please go and read my book, Guided by the Spirit. I took the case of Balaam. In fact, he's the reason I wrote that book. I thought of Balaam. I said, Balaam, let me write a book about you. Okay. But Guided by the Spirit, I wrote that book to explain just this your question. So it would be out of order for me to start explaining it now. Please grab a hold of the book, Guided by the Spirit, and read it. For those who may be listening to this, it's available on our website. You can easily download it. It's free. But if you want the copies at the back of the hall, for those of us who are here, you can buy a copy. I think it's about 700 or 800 naira. But on our website, if you click, it will download into your device absolutely free of charge. But the basic reason is that God, you heard God's voice, is not what matters. It's where your heart is. Like my friend Pastor Courage will say, I have found that after all these years, people only hear what they want to hear. That's what he said. Please, sir, you want to start up a teaching ministry at Bakiliki? What about in Oka? Because we prayed about it. I only read this question because you mentioned Bakiliki. Yes, we want to go to Bakiliki. I will be teaching in Bakiliki for 90 days over 2 years, every Monday for 90 consecutive Mondays. Actually, God works in wondrous ways, his wonders to perform. That is what is upon our heart right now. In Oka, we'll come once in a while like this. We're not so many in this ministry. I know Okemute can be coming to Oka every Thursday. If you have a place, he will be coming every month or something. But me? I can't. I cannot division myself into twice. Ah, Apostle! Your ministry has commenced in Oka. We will try our best to keep moving around. We will. It's just because, it says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. As God increases us in ministerial staff, we'll reach more places. Right now, we go to tomorrow morning now, with all this sweating now, one of us is going to Makurdi. We'll leave Enugu by 5:30 in the morning. Okay, and it's a 4-hour drive. So that's why we have to limit the number. Even the one we are doing in one place, let me not mention that. We're even thinking of cutting it down. You know, just so that we can go to other places. Somebody said that, Oga, you will come to you in my mind if I kick you. Mama, do you know what it takes to go? You know, he was going to spend the money and, you know, arrange everything. But to drive from Enugu to you, stay there how many days? That one, I came with you in Israel. The Lord is good. Why did God command Moses to stone people who broke the Sabbath day? That was part of their covenant. It's not part of ours. Ha. This Oka question, when are you coming to Oka? You fool this place, though. We have answered it. This is rather long, but I think I can get it. Dear Pastor, in true worship of God, which is obedience in all its rules, how will people like us who are under authority do all that God requires from us, more particularly when the authorities are not directly obedient to God's rules? Even some church authorities, where things are done anyhow, and you suffer, you know, victimization because you don't follow what they are doing. Can I follow the example of Naaman that said that when my king goes to the temple of Rimmon and he leans on my hand and all of that? Well, again, that's quite a tricky question. Sometimes you have to check, do you have a choice to leave? Are you getting my point? Yeah, sometimes if you can leave, that's, you consider the possibility. All right, because you cannot endure some things forever. Okay, Naaman's case, don't forget, Naaman didn't understand what we know now. And he was not an evangelist per se. Well, I mean, like, he just got healed. And he knew that he wanted to serve God, but he was going to have a problem when he gets back home. And so he asked for relief for his immediate suffering. Do you understand? So that's what. So we cannot just take Naaman as our example. Because he was a baby Christian. He was a real baby. He was just, in quote now, Christian. He was just getting to know the true God. Yeah, and he wanted to worship him. So we're just vowing to the other, to the priest that, look, oh, that's only God that we serve. But if you find me in that other temple, just because I'm the bodyguard to the king. Are you getting my point? Let me give an example now. If you are in charge of DSS, in charge of protecting President Buhari, and you're a born-again Christian, you will go to the mosque. You're not going to worship. Do you get my point? But as he's going in, sometimes you may have to actually go in and stand beside him. Do you understand what I'm saying? But of course, we'll have to now pray that he will understand that, let's say things are really tough. There's war in the air and all of that. And you can't leave his side. That's the kind of thing that Naaman was talking about. He was like the chief security officer to the king. And that's why the king has so much trust in him. So you may have to, you follow the president now. You surround his mosque. Every Friday, you go to villa, you go to Moscow. You're not a Muslim, but you're gone there. You are the one that's in charge, making sure that no Boko Haram gets in here. You're not protecting Muslims. You're not protecting the mosque. You're protecting the people that are in there, of which your president is one of them. That's the kind of situation that some of these people have to face sometimes. And each time when I have to handle things like that, I'd like to discuss specifics with people. The general principles can be confusing. Like, I just gave you a scenario that many of people never thought about till now. What if I'm the chief security officer protecting the president? Where do I go on Fridays? Because those days, if they injure the king, they kill you too. You are part of the conspiracy if you were not there. That's why those men, if you are killing their king, you kill them. They will not go. They won't go because if you are my life, my God don't die, they will say I conspired. So what about that kind of situation? So we handle them case by case when we are counseling, when we are needed to discuss things like this. Okay? But the general principle I can just drop here now is that if it's a place you can leave and it gets so bad, then you should. David Paulson stopped being a priest in that church. Which church was he in now? And I think Anglican. He said because he refused to baptize infants. He said infants can't be baptized. So that's how he left. He joined them, I think, the Baptists. Baptists will not baptize infants. So he joined the Baptists because he said, I'm not going to baptize infants. But I'm not saying everybody will do that. Each case, therefore, has to be judged on his own merit. Please, let's hurry. I want us to close in the next few minutes. How do I discover my purpose in life? We don't have time to go in details, but what I can just say, there are two ways. One, you know the gift of God that is in you. Number two, whatever God commits into your hands, do it with all your might. Are you getting my point? David's purpose in life, how did he discover it? Let's talk about David. He had a skill, which was what? Playing the instrument and singing hymns, psalms. So he wrote psalms and played the instrument. But was he called shepherd? No, his father gave him the job. This is my sheep, go and take care of it. He had to be responsible. So be responsible, use your gifts, those two things. Eventually, you will discover your purpose as long as you are working with God and you're always purifying your heart with his word. All right? Somebody says that one of my resolutions this year is to study the Bible. That's very, very good. Amen? If you believe it's good, say amen.
Amen.
But he has a question. Which version do I read? And I'll tell you, please, whatever you do, don't read King James. That's what I think. Why? It's not written in the language you speak. If I give you a Bible in Swahili, will you like it? You don't speak Swahili. King James is written in a language you don't speak. It's Elizabethan English. It confuses the brain, the mind, and the heart, and the soul to a man who doesn't speak the language. That's rule number one. Read a simple translation. Do you understand? Now, Bibles come in different varieties. There are translations and there are paraphrases. What are paraphrases? A translation tries to use as much of the words used originally as much as possible, but in modern English. A paraphrase does not try to use the words. It tries to give the meaning in its own words. So you see, the Living Bible is a paraphrase. The Message Bible is a serious paraphrase that I don't even recommend it for Nigerians because you don't speak American English. It's written in contemporary American English. They use words that you and I are not, it doesn't evoke the same meaning. That's the Message Bible. Now, I personally, for my standard study, I use New American Standard because it's a translation, but it's modern English. But it is more of a translation than a paraphrase. In fact, I have next to no paraphrase. For that reason, it's not the best for most people. This is my first recommendation for everybody, New Living Translation. It's a paraphrase, but it leans a bit towards translation, more than Living Bible. Good News is excellent also. I like Good News Bible. New Living Translation is good. So generally, if you want to know the Bible and know God's word, that's good enough. But then if you now want to do study, you are a Bible teacher, you want to now delve deeper, I would recommend you use two. Take a translation. I use New American Standard. Take a paraphrase. I use Good News and New Living Translation, any one of the two. All right? New Living Translation most of the time. And then put on top of the three, Amplified Bible for the New Testament. Amplified doesn't do much in the Old Testament, just here and there. So those three put together will help you. And then, but the best way, one thing I encourage, they are here now. I've spoken today now for over 3 hours, plus 2 hours yesterday, all of that. I'm not the Bible. I'm a Bible teacher. Do you get my point? Use a lot of good Bible teachers. They help you. A man I particularly recommend as a Bible teacher is Derek Prince. He does a lot of Bible teaching. So as for version, that's my recommendation. If you say, just tell me one, it's my first time I want to start studying scriptures, I would say go for New Living Translation. All right? There are many other ones. God's Word Translation is there. I've mentioned Good News Bible, the same thing as today's English translation. Today's English version. There's Bible in Basic English. There are so many, but the common printed one around. Please, let me just drop this. NIV is good. Forget that nonsense they send around. You've seen on WhatsApp, NIV has been twisted by satanists. It is totally rubbish. All right? NIV is a good Bible. It's also a good one. NIV is good. I forgot to mention it. For the ones, if you are reading a Bible on paper, the common ones are NIV, Good News, New Living Translation. These three are good. But a lot of the other ones I mentioned, they are more common if you use digital Bibles. You can easily download them. They are available all over the place. Okay, so that's it. I like that question because it made me say a number of things. All right? Now, I'm about to be done. Okay. This question is very funny. I agree with you. This thing is confusing. He said, is it right to say, I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. I bless the name of the Lord. Is it not the other way around? Is it not God that's supposed to be blessing us? I bless you, Kimuti. God will say, Banki, I bless you. Let me ask you a question. Is it right to say, I love you, Lord? Huh? Yes. Is it right for the Lord to say, I love you, Okemute?
Yes.
Some words can be used both ways. But you know, when I love the Lord, what does it mean? I obey him. Definition behind is now what matters. If a man loves the Lord, he keeps his commandments. If the Lord loves a man, he gives to him. For God so loved the world that he gave. Thus, he said, this is how God loved the alien amongst you. He gave him food and clothing. Do you understand? God's love is defined by giving. Man's love for God is defined by what? Obedience. So thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. In the same manner, when we say bless the Lord, we're not adding a material blessing to him. The word bless, when it's the Lord, include thank, worship. So if I say, I bless you, Lord, what you are saying is, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. And listen, it's in the Bible like that. It's Bible English. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. What it means is I appreciate God. Do you get my... Actually, when I first heard that expression when I was in school, Lord, we bless you. I'm like, who are you to bless who? Yeah, that was my attitude too. I'm like, what? You know, it took me a while. I don't got used to it after a while, but my body just couldn't... I couldn't say it too. But after a while, just catch up with everybody is doing. We bless you, Lord. Bless God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I say, God needs a blessing. Deep behind the pocket, Lord, let me bless you with this 500 naira. No, blessing God is to thank him, worship him, appreciate him, praise him. That's what it means, all right? All right, last of all, question is, sir, how do I stand? He wrote a number of things, but they are just for me. I mean, like, a bit of background. So, question is, Lord, how do I stand firm in faith and not be swayed by what I see and hear? How do I manifest Christ and have an intimate relationship with God? First, faith, standing in faith. Let me put it like this. Discipleship is your key. Discipleship. What is discipleship? Always learning. Always changing your ways by the word you are imbibing. That's the key. That's the key. That's the key. So, don't try to do anything for God. Don't. Just say, let me learn his ways. How do you learn it? You've been here since morning. You have your Bible, you read, you buy a book, you listen to a message. As you are imbibing the word, that's discipleship. You are becoming what God wants you to be. Some people, they want to say, hey, when will I be preaching like you? In my mind, you are not me, I ain't going to preach like me, I'm going to preach like you. Do you get my point? But there's no hurry, there's no competition. You understand? Kenneth Hagin preached for 60-something years before he died. This man preached for about 70 years. What is his name? Billy Graham. Me, I've just preached for how many years now? So, each person runs his own race. I'm not thinking of the day I'll preach like Kenneth Hagin or like Billy Graham. They were doing their thing. Christianity is not what you can do for God. It's what God can transform in you. How he can make you into himself. And the way by which he does it is by the entrance of his word. Just make sure you're always learning and becoming a better person as a result of the word of God that's entering your heart. You get my point? I think I've taken most of the questions. The other two questions, let me just have them. Please, if you were the one that wrote this, you see Pastor Okemuti after, you wrote something about, both of them, one is about marriage, right? Yeah, you know, the woman that, you know the word I'm talking about. What do you do about that woman? See Pastor Okemuti. The second one is about, I think the other person is probably the minister of the gospel. You talk to me after, all right? That's how I feel. Let's give the Lord thanks. Thank you very much for being patient, for your own good. But me too, I enjoyed it. Yeah, we thank God. Thank you for yesterday. Thank you for this weekend. Thank you for Kingdom World Ministries. Thank you for me for coming, that is yourself. Thank you for the people that put this program together. Thank you for the co-workers. Thank you for Israel. Thank you for Okemuti. Thank you for Yinka. Thank you for our bishop. Thank you for all the people that I just mentioned the names of those who came with me from Enugu now. Say, Lord, thank you for bringing them safely. We know you will take them back safely. Thank you for the equipment we used. Thank you for the solution to all our hindrances. Thank you. Thank you. Let's give him thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Please, can you, if anybody is here, you happen to be ill in an area, I just feel like praying over it. All right? Just to confirm what I know God is already doing in your life. Just put your hand there. Father, thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. I speak the healing power of God into that affliction that your child is putting a hand upon now. And I command that healing to come now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I rebuke sickness from that body. According to the sacrifice of Jesus, the authority of the word of God, it drives away that ailment now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, somebody needs an open door. This coming week, open a door for him or her in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Do a miracle in somebody's life to glorify your own name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. There's a way we share the grace in Kingdom World Ministries. Do you have that magazine? All right, open to page 11. You see the way we share the grace there. That's how we share the grace in fellowship. Are we ready?
Yes.
It's at the bottom of page 11. That's the last page inside. Now, I want to let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now this is what we like to do. We like to bless somebody with that last line. You turn to somebody beside you and say, this is your season. This is your season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. Turn to another person. You are going to do three. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. One more person. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Now, one for yourself. This is my season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. All right, cherub brethren, the word works. God bless you. It was nice fellowshiping with you for these 2 days.